The Writer's Almanac podcast is supported by Split Rock's online mentoring for writers program, providing one-on-one assistance with creative writing projects at cce.umn.edu/write. And by Poetry Magazine, for over 90 years, a premier publisher of contemporary verse. You can find it online at poetrymagazine.org. And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 6th of October, 2008. It was on this day, October 6th, that two of William Faulkner's novels were published separately, 2 years apart, As I Lay Dying in 1930 and Light in August in 1932. As I Lay Dying, he wrote in just 6 weeks, wrote it while he worked the night shift at a power plant, following the Bundren family and their journey across Mississippi to bury their mother. A novel narrated by 15 different people in 59 separate monologues, including some by the dead mother. Faulkner said, "I set out deliberately to write a tour de force. Before I ever put pen to paper and set down the first word, I knew what the last word would be and almost where the last period would fall." The other book was harder for him to write, Light in August. He kept starting over and inserting sections, ripping pages out, rearranging, changing main characters. He also changed the title. It had first been called Dark House, and then one day his wife made the comment that the light in August was different from the light at other times of the year, and he called the novel that, Light in August. It was on this day in 1883 the Orient Express completed its first run from Paris to Constantinople in less than 78 hours, a train made famous by two books, Graham Greene's novel Stamboul Train in 1932 and Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express in 1934. It's the birthday of the novelist Melvyn Bragg, born in 1939 in Wigton, a small town in Cumberland, England, author of many novels, almost 20, most of them set in his home county of Cumberland, the newest Remember Me, published just this year. And it's the birthday of David Dietz, born in 1897 in Cleveland, Ohio, fascinated by astronomy as a child. He became a columnist for the Scripps Howard newspapers and wrote about science so that everyday people could understand it. Author of many books, won a Pulitzer Prize in 1937, and was one of the first popularizers of science. Here's a poem for today by Jonathan Holden entitled The Scientist. Other fathers might cuss out a lawnmower that wouldn't catch or kick the car. Mine would simply stop. A physicist, he'd stop and think a while, his breath wheezing through his nose, hiss and hiss, mechanical, until abruptly a solution clicked, then step by step, arranging parts in the sequence they'd come loose, he'd direct at our lawnmower, a logic even that sullen machine could not refute. Then, just as systematically, refit each wrench upon its pegboard silhouette, re-index every drill bit, every nail. The small, half-German intellectual who, although he'd own no gun himself, let me wear twin Lone Ranger cap pistols on each hip. You couldn't tell just what he thought of you. Had he hated us, he wouldn't have shown it. When, in that reasoning, mildly troubled tone of his that meant he might be disappointed in his son, he once explained, "In war, people hurt with tools." I shuddered. You couldn't imagine what he might invent. He was a patient man. The Scientist by Jonathan Holden from The Names of the Rapids, published by University of Massachusetts Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Gift subscriptions are available at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Ella Shavonik and Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.